Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And you're here on Detours. It's that time of week again, every Saturday, broadcasting from City Village Studios of Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. And I'm Greg Atkins, and joined today by Jody.
I am Jody, and I am delighted to be here today, here on Saturday on Joy 94.9. And you know what? We love to hear from you on the Detours show. You can SMS us 0427 Joy 949. And last week we had a bajillion, I think I'd summarise it as that number, a bajillion listeners from all around the world with their ideas, their suggestions, their engagement, and we really enjoy hearing from you. On air at joy.org.au, or you can listen live at joy.org.au as well.
Or get your iPhone app downloaded onto that that strange little device that's going to be superseded by Androids very soon, and you'll be able to listen to Joy 94.9 anywhere in the world.
Exactly. And coming up shortly on the program, we're going to have a two-part interview with Hilary Fisher and Julian O'Shea, talking about their round-the-world trip. And Hilary is, both of them are really interesting people, and Hilary is deaf. So she's got a terrific blog online called Deaf Planet. DeafLonelyPlanet.wordpress.com, talking about the experiences of being deaf or hearing impaired and then travelling all around the world with her partner.
That'll be exciting. And also later in the show we'll be speaking with Andy Josh Lim, who flies. He's an air steward that flies the world. And what motivates people? What do people do when they're dealing with the pressures of flying on international routes? And how do they actually relax and recover in between times? He was a guest on our show some time ago, probably 2.5 years ago as well, here on Joy 94.9, when we woke him up at the Grand Hyatt Hotel and forced him into a car and made him come into our studio barely awake after flying in.
I can't imagine how hard that would be for professionals who are responsible for people's safety in well-being and try to keep, you know, an equilibrium and with all those different time zones. I just can't imagine.
Well, while he comes back, and it's only recently he's come back, and he'll be sharing that today. Last time he was here, it was a very funny occasion, because how do you get into a hotel? How do you, the hotel staff let you up onto the floor where your guest is in bed asleep, and how do you get them to give the skeleton key to come and open the door so you can drag him out of bed, get him in the shower and bring him into the studio? And all that happened. I've got to thank the concierges. The best part about a concierge on a five-star hotel is if you can persuade them that what you're doing is genuine and honest, all doors open.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
So we were able to drag him out of his bed, put him in the shower and get him in the car down to the Joy Studios.
Gee, you have remarkable talents. I didn't know, Greg.
I think, Jody, it was you that organised, or Macca organised, the concierges to come in. We've had a number of concierges come
in.
Yeah,
it was me, actually. And in a couple of weeks' time on Detours, we'll have Le Clé d'Or, which is the official international association of concierges from around the world, and we'll be speaking with two here in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, about what it's like to be a concierge. What are some of those, you know, bizarro situations that guests request for? Obviously, there's a cone of silence about not naming names to protect privacy and dignity of clients. But it'd be really interesting to hear how they got into the biz of being in the hotel industry.
Fascinating role. If I was going to have my life back again, Jody, a concierge would be a really interesting job to have, I think.
Well, you could still do that. You're young.
I'm young enough. I'm blushing.
Stay with us here on Detours, here on Joy 94.9. It's 11 minutes past 12. We're with you right up until 1 o'clock here on Joy.
Joy 94.9, now giving you more remixes than any other radio station.
shows all weekend, only on Joy 94.9.
This is Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie Wilmer, joined by Greg Atkins. We're with you right up to 1 o'clock today. Now, talking about divas and talking about gorgeous girls, that track there before was, of course, Material Girl by Madonna. Now, joining us on the phone now is a lovely lady called Leni. Welcome to the program, Leni.
Well, thank you very much, Jodie.
We played that song especially for you, being such a Material Girl.
Yeah, I know, right? That really confronted me because I really don't think that I'm that superficial, but anyway.
You're not.
Definitely not.
We're demonstrating that you're not, Leni. Now, Leni's, of course, a manager of people services and culture here at Joy and doing a fantastic job of bringing people together, focused on training, development, culture, making sure everybody's doing their very best in a professional way. So congratulations, Leni. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Jodie.
And you're on a road trip. You're doing your traditional road trip. I mean, I know you and your friend Beck get out there and you like to hop in a van, and that's your passion, is vanning it around. Where does this road trip take you?
Well, this time round, we're actually between Renmark and Loxton in South Australia. So we're here for a wedding. So got a wedding in Loxton today. So we thought we'd get over to Loxton early, get a good park because, you know, we're not in a small vehicle. We're in a camper van, which is still really easy to park, but it's just easier. We'll get a park at the church now and then we'll walk into the town and see what Loxton has to offer us.
I've just had a mental image of you two gals parked outside the church, trying to struggle your glad rags on, with the curtains flapping and the thing jumping around. Is that what you're going to do? Park right at the front and get changed outside the church?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So we're going to park the car, spend the day in the town, then come back, close the curtains, get our pre-ironed church wedding clothes on. I'll straighten my hair. Oh, no, I can't straighten my hair. I can straighten my hair tonight for the reception. Anyway, everything's pre-organised. Really, you don't need to do a lot. We've got to put a little bit of makeup on. We've got a mirror. We've got our clothes ironed, and then we'll step into the church. And then that will be fantastic. And then afterwards, we'll drive back to Renmark, park our car at where we're staying at a Big Four caravan park. And then I'll straighten my hair, put more makeup on, and put my reception outfit on.
Now, Leni, if I may diverge from the glamour and the makeup part, but may I ask, how did you decide to get a camper van, and how do you find driving it around? I've got an image of you two gals like Barbie camper van, you know, out and about.
Well, I don't think it's as glamorous as Barbie would do it, but we're pretty pretty tidy. So we take something out, we put it back. You know, we sweep the floor like every 5 minutes. So I think we just find that it's more comfortable to keep things tidy because you are in such a confined space. I do all the driving. It's a manual vehicle, and I drive a station wagon from day to day, and I find that it's really pretty much the same. You can see out the rear windows, you can see out the sides, so it's the same kind of, it's familiar to me in that sense. So I find it really very easy to drive.
And when you first got the camper van, did you have to do some short practice trips close to home to get your confidence?
No, I didn't. But I do find that the first day is always a very stressful one for me. I find that I'm very anxious for the first trip. And then as I get more familiar with the country roads, the many bumps in the roads, and perhaps a dirt road here and there, the next day I'm much more confident.
We've had a message from Busa, who's over in Scandinavia, and he's asked, how do you get from Melbourne to Renmark in South Australia?
I think, what freeway were we on from Melbourne to Adelaide? Sturt Highway was for part of it, not all of it. I can't remember.
You're talking to your Melways, aren't you? There, you've got a talking Melways.
I think it was the Hume into Echuca, and then somewhere along the way we got onto the Sturt. But you can tell that I'm the driver and not the navigator. And we just follow the GPS.
What a fine drive you are. Look, we want to get some mental pictures and some images, so please Facebook or send us some pictures of you in your glad rags and your straightened hair for tonight's reception over in Renmark, South Australia.
I will do, and I'll leave you with an image that is for both of you. I shaved my legs in the van this morning because I decided that it was going to be 34 degrees and I hadn't shaved my legs in the shower, so I thought, I'm going to have to do the dry shave, and I did that in the van, so I'll leave you with that.
Fantastic. Deforestation. Usually in South Australia, it's bushfires that take out the trees.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks. Okay, you're on Detours, and that was Leanie all the way in Renmark, South Australia, where she's attending a wedding. I'm Greg. This is Jody on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
On the program, Hilary Fisher and Julian O'Shea.
It's a great way to meet people, including my future boyfriend. But yeah, it's also about, changing the world, as you can imagine.
Okay, so a conference about changing the world. What interests you about going to that event, and what capacity were you there in?
Well, I was there representing, people who are deaf and hard of hearing. And the goal was really to ensure that there is active engagement and participation from young people in across Australia. And so that's why I was there. So it was good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And what about you, Julian?
So my background's in science, technology. I'm an engineer. Looking at ways that young engineers can kind of engage their skills, hopefully for some community benefit.
With engineers too, I mean, I have to say this, Julian, a lot of my friends are engineers. I still don't know what they do.
I know, it's a bit of a problem.
So if you're a young engineer and you're trying to make a difference in the future, that's a really interesting and complex way of having to operate, isn't it?
It is. The way I think about it is it's engineering is really about problem solving. So it's about finding something that we can improve, make better, and then just applying that technology to improve that quality of life.
There seems to be a lot of math, and I don't like math, so I might prefer my marketing and communications role.
Well, what a powerful combination when we bring marketing and communications with the analytical skills and the problem-solving skills that an engineer has. Do you find that that's something that's brought you together?
Sure, yeah.
I think so. I think that's also why we like being together. Could we bring different kinds of things to the relationship? Julian brings the math skills, which are handy during shopping trips, and I bring the communication skills, which are handy
with parking inspectors.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, I imagine, Hilary, for you as well, communication has different forms. So you actually speak two languages, would you say?
Yes, that's correct. I use spoken English and stuff, but I also use sign language, or Auslan, Australian Sign Language, and it's a the sign language of the deaf community, and I love it, and I learned it from when I was 16 years old.
So have you always been deaf?
Yes, I have. Well, we think so anyway. I was born deaf, we think, but I wasn't diagnosed until I was 3.5 years old, and that was with my twin brother and my older sister as well. So my mother developed a bit of a stutter when she first found out and was a bit surprised. But yeah, from then on, it was pretty much steady as she goes. We went to a hearing school first, and then I moved on to a deaf integrated school and learned sign language so that I could talk to one of my now best friends. So yeah.
An amazing experience. So when you think about growing up, What are some of your reflections about being deaf?
It's really hard to say in some ways because I guess, it's the only experience I've had. But one of the things that I think was particularly useful was it broadened my ideas about what communication meant and how people can interact with each other. I've got a fairly liberal view about, the ways and means that people can talk to each other and connect with each other. And I think that was actually also quite useful when we went travelling around the world because it made me think a little bit more laterally about how I could communicate with someone who didn't speak English and whose language I didn't speak as well.
I think everybody has those unique challenges as well about how to communicate. But I think when I reflect back on the Deaf Olympics being in Melbourne, I had an observation of a couple of the athletes at McDonald's who were in their tracksuits and they were getting ready for something, but they were having something to eat and were using sign language but with their mouth full. And I actually thought, well, this is actually a bit of an advantage. You can talk with your mouth full. But I think for a lot of people, in fact, people who are deaf or hard of hearing is probably more prevalent than people realise. Would you agree?
In what way do you mean?
Well, I think most people can see physical disabilities and people in wheelchairs or mobility needs, but or people with vision impairments. But I wonder how many people in the community are in fact deaf or hard of hearing.
Yeah, well, I believe there are quite a lot of people. I don't know the exact number, but I think it's about 2 million people have some form of hearing loss. But it is a little bit more of a hidden thing, I suppose, than most other so-called disabilities and stuff. But yeah, there are lots of people out there who do fantastic things, you know, whether they're deaf, hard of hearing or hearing. So,
Hilary, you said it's a hidden thing. I think it's hidden because people that have hearing tend not to observe that the people around them might not have hearing. It's a very intangible thing. I remember standing on a platform in Tokyo and watching a person near me signing to a person three platforms across, and they're having this conversation as if they were standing next to each other.
It's so useful sometimes as well, particularly in nightclubs when you go out and you're in a really noisy situation. It's really handy to be able to sign.
So, Julian, do you speak Auslan or use Auslan as well?
Yeah, I do. It's much newer for me. I've only learnt in the last couple of years, but I'm kind of familiar enough to communicate with deaf Australians here.
Great. What I'd love to understand is also, Hilary and Julian, you decided to travel together and so just walk us through some of those experiences. You know, where did you decide to go and why?
Sure. So before I went, I was working for the government as an electronics engineer in defence, and was just kind of ready for a break, something different, a chance to explore and travel and see the world. So I kind of made the decision to take 12 months and pack up and go. And Hilary was nice enough to say, yep, I'll come too.
And it was really good fun, and it was probably one of the best things I've ever done. It's fantastic.
Well, to plan that, you've only just met, and Julian hasn't learned Auslan yet. How did you go about making sure the communication was right around how you were planning your journey together?
Sure. So we'd been together for a year or so.
Whole year before then.
Yeah. So we'd been together a little while. It wasn't that bigger plunge. But a year's a wonderful time to take off. It really gives you that freedom and flexibility to, I guess, go at a slower pace. You're not rushing around. You're not trying to squeeze in as many monuments or countries or capitals in a short period of time. You've got that time to really kind of explore and take it in. So I guess the big decision we made was to do it overland. So the vast majority of the trip was done at ground level. And the joys of that means that there's not as many much pre-planning needed to do all the flights and all the itinerary. Really, all you need to do is start and then just catch buses and trains the whole way from there.
And then complain about how long they took. 24 hours on a bus. I may be deaf, but I also have songs that go round and round and round in my head, particularly ones that I make up because I'm so bored.
Well, that's certainly something we can all relate to, isn't it, when you're travelling on those long-distance trips.
Exactly right. Yeah, Hilary's such a wonderful woman.
And Julian is a fabulous guy too. So the beginning of that interview, the introduction was for to Hilary Fisher and Julian O'Shea, who met at a conference and then travelled around the world together. And we're delighted to have them here on Detours 94.9. If you want more information and following their adventures, you can go online to deaflonelyplanet.wordpress.com and you can follow the blog of their world adventures. And coming up in a few moments, we'll have more from Hilary and Julian.
SMS any comments to 0427 joy949 if you're overseas, +61 427 joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.
Your voice, your radio station. Joy 94.9.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9. Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound. Joy 94.9. 94.9.
Graham. This is the Detours Travel Show. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg, and we're speaking with Hilary and Julian about their world travels here on Joy 94.9. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to SMS us 0427 Joy 949, you might have a question for them. We'd love to hear from you on air at joy.org.au.
Or tweet Detours on Joy 949, and we'll check out the tweets during the show as well.
Now, why was it that you chose to do an overland trip?
So just to kind of explain what trip we did, we really just got a cheap one-way flight from Australia to Southeast Asia, and from then on it was just buses. So we kind of travelled, we really kicked off in Thailand. We started the overland portion of our trip and then travelled pretty much the whole way across the Asian continent to Europe. So through the countries in Southeast Asia, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, and then across the full length of China, Mongolia, and then Russia to Eastern Europe. So that's a lot of diversity, a lot of amazing countries and cultures. Why did we do it that way? I think just because there's so much to see and we had the time. 12 months is a pretty long period and you can eat a lot of good meals and see a lot of amazing sights in that period. So because we kind of wanted to go everywhere, it made sense to connect the dots.
Was there a passion? Did you, Hilary, have a passion for some of those countries that pulled them to the top of the list?
I absolutely loved Russia, actually. I thought that I would not like Russia, but... And I actually didn't even want to go to Russia. But once we hit Russia and we went to... we came from Mongolia and we went to a relatively small town and I fell in love with it straight away. It's got the most amazing scenery, amazing people, which theoretically you wouldn't believe. The reputation is that Russians are unfriendly. They've got the Trans-Siberian Railway, which we used to travel throughout Russia, and we met some amazing people who would invite us to stay at their places in Moscow and tell us about the KGB and do all sorts of things like that. So that was probably my favourite place. I also quite like Turkey. Because it was very diverse and, you know, there was lots of different types of people there and lots of different things to see. So that was really good.
It sounds like Hilary is a bit of a gaze and watch people walk past type person.
I definitely am.
Fantastic. That's a good way of travelling. You are on Detours and coming up shortly we'll explore more with Julian and Hilary about their fabulous journeys.
We're joined here in the studio here on Detours with Hilary and Julian. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg, and we're with you right up until 1 o'clock today. Now, we're talking about world adventures, and Hilary and Julian took a year off to undertake pretty much an overland journey from Australia to Southeast Asia through to Mongolia, a bit of China and Russia. Did you work out how you were going to stretch your budget to make a year last? Did you live really... really frugally beforehand and then during the trip?
We did save up. Taking a year off is a bit of a financial endeavour. But travel can be surprisingly inexpensive. And I guarantee you that we spent less money a year on the road than we do living here in Melbourne. And a lot of that's to do with where you travel. So those countries that we mentioned, Eastern Europe, Southeast Asia, the cost of living is much, much less than it is in Australia. So we certainly weren't living it up in five-star hotels, but nor were we going wanting, going hungry. I think that a lot of people might be surprised, I guess, how economic it can be. You can get a beautiful guest house room in Vietnam with an ensuite and air conditioning for $12 a night.
But of course, you do have to be prepared for some yucky rooms and some unpleasant food experiences as well. Not everything is cheap and fantastic, but it's still worth it.
Well, Hilary, what is a yucky room and what is an unfortunate meal experience?
Well, one room in China had footprints on the roof. And I had to wonder how and why they got there, particularly when the roof was so high up. So they're those kinds of things. Other times it just feels really unpleasant and stark and, you know, the mattress might be a bit disgusting, but that's more the exception than the rule. So.
Yeah, I have to sort of share with you now that I'm a bit precious when it comes to accommodation. And when I went to India recently on a package trip, one of my roommates said to me, I think we've moved into an insane asylum because the room just had big bars on the windows and had no nothing that you could lift or move or throw, and you know, reasonably clean but pretty sparsely decorated.
What about the food? What yucky food situations did you have?
Well, I'm vegetarian, so the yucky food situations that I have were simply sometimes that food wasn't washed in water that was clean. However, Julian did choose to eat some very strange foods, like a grasshopper, I think, which was almost vegetarian in my view, but I decided not to eat it.
Almost vegetarian. It moves, it hops.
Well, yes, it eats grass.
Yeah, Hillary found some countries tough. The culture of vegetarianism doesn't exist in a lot of places. Mongolia was probably the standout because they're a traditionally nomadic people. You know, their history is you eat what you can take with you, and that doesn't lend itself to a crop growing culture. So a lot of their food is meats and oils and fats and milks and dairies. So much so that I think there's a bit of a suspicion to not that way of life. So,
well, yeah. They eat hoof to ears. They eat every part
every
of an animal.
Every bit. Yeah. So that's the tradition. So even in modern day Mongolia, it's still quite rare for there to be a, you know, real thriving vegetarian scene.
If you walked into a restaurant in, say, Mongolia and you were seated, did they put you on a special table? Did you find yourself being looked after in any way different than the local people?
No, not really. I was always keen to get stuck into the booze, it's called, the hearty red meat oil that gets you through the freezing Mongolian winter. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Mongolians in general appear to be friendly but quite reserved in some ways, and I think that's probably because of the weather and the culture they have. Most of, their buildings, you have to kind of go down, you know, into what I would call the basement, but is really just the entrance, because it's cold and they're protecting themselves from the snow in the winter. So I think their personalities are quite reserved as well. So
the question then is, Jodes, and I'm interested, once you're in that, the doors are shut, you're out of the wind, you're out of the cold, at what point do people start to warm up, and at what point do you start to connect with people?
Do you want to talk to that, Hillary?
Well, I think it probably has something to do with alcohol. Yeah.
Responsibly drunk, of course.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think it's also about being around with family and friends who you know. So it takes a while, definitely, to warm up to some people, I think, and vice versa. But, yeah, they're great people.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound. Joy 94.9.
Join Shane from 5 p.m. today on The Frequency here on Joy 94.9 for a Bootylicious Beyoncé special. Tune in to hear her best tunes from Destiny Child to her solo hits, amazing collaborations, awesome remixes and more, only on The Frequency from 5 p.m. today on Joy. And get your tickets now for the Lucille Ball. Good on your Colin Kreiser out there. A fabulous formal fundraiser for Joy 94.9 and the Royal Children's Hospital, featuring DJs, great live local entertainment, plus your ticket price also includes beer, wine, soft drinks and a scrumptious three-course meal too. For tickets and more details, go online to thelucilleball.org. That's thelucilleball.org.
Fantastic. Here on Joy 94.9, this is Detours. I'm Jody, joined by Greg. We're with you till 1 o'clock. It's now 12:45. Great interview with Hillary and Julian. And we've had some terrific feedback. And thank you, David Inver, for listening. He says, love the show as always. Thanks so much. They're coming in thick and fast, all of these emails and SMSs.
And we've also had someone said, I'm so glad you said some Russians are friendly and hospitable, as we actually are. It's an amazing country and culture. From communism as a booming economy with 104 billionaires. That's incredible. 104 wow. billionaires. And they say Russia is both the gateway between East and West, with treasurers for all. And thank you, Paul. We really appreciate that input and that feedback. Joy is an amazing place where we meet those characters like Hillary and Julian. It's just extraordinary in their experiences. And thank you, Hillary, for sharing your ability and your disability and how you build that and share your lives through travel and tourism, which is not bad. We've also had a message from Fiona, I think.
We have, and Fiona's just saying that she's loving the interview and would like to read more about Hilary's blog. And what we'll do is we'll put it on our Facebook page so you can directly go to the link. But if you're wanting to do a Google search, deaflonelyplanet.wordpress.com, Hilary Fisher, just Google, you'll find her. Fantastic array of travels that everybody can do. And, you know, as long-term listeners to The Detour Show, you'll know that we are incredibly committed to inclusive and accessible tourism and diversity. And coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at a new program that that's just been going to be launched shortly called Welcome to Victoria. Now, this is a program for employers to make their workplaces more culturally inclusive, especially for skilled migrants who have arrived in Australia and contributing to our community and economy, and making sure that they've got the information to help them be safe, enjoy things and be part of the community.
That's fantastic. Sounds really interesting. If you have any suggestions for shows, you can email us during the week at detoursonjoy.org.au. Now, we've also got young Andy Josh Lim from Singapore that works in the sector, and he came back to revisit the Detour studio after a couple of years away. How years have you been flying?
From the last time we speak to now, it's coming close to 5 years. Flies very fast, doesn't it?
It does fly fast. Do you ever get tired of doing a shift and hopping to the next city?
Always. But what takes the joy out of it, or rather I'll say that the joy of it is that every time when I go into the particular station which I like, you know, it's kind of like, no matter how tired I am after like 16 hours, like, you know, non-stop walking up and down the aisle, but at the same time it's like once you get there, it's like the energy is just different. Just, you know, the whole entire spectrum of things is just changes, and you become alive with this energy. And, you know, that always happens every time when I do a layover, either in LA or in New York City. So it's good. It's good fun. And so it's like, it's always nice to get back to my friends, together with my friends. So I haven't seen them for a while, and it's like, no, it's nice to see them after 2 months, 3 months. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, it's like second home for me. That's pretty much the very perks. It's the only thing that what's kept me going and what makes me last this long. Otherwise, it's like, you know, probably I might only just last like a couple of years, maybe like 2 or 3 years. But you know what? It's like time just went on like by the snap of the fingers, and here I am. Like, it's almost 5 years already. And the end of my contract is coming up, and I got a renewal coming up soon. So yeah, so we just take it from there.
What period contracts do you have?
Like, we have a 3 terms contract. Like, you know, usually each term is about 5 years. So like, you know, there's always like 1 term which is about 5 years, and then they're subject to renewal again to the next term, which is another 5 years again. And then the third term, which is another 5 years. So altogether 15 years. So the lifespan of a crew is pretty short, actually, if you think about it in the long run.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, if you talk about, if you want to go into a higher position and everything, usually cut off age for generally, like, you know, not just, you know, my local company, but it's also the same for everywhere. It's like cut off age is probably the 55 years. Yeah. But you could go even further. Depends on how strong the union is. Usually a lot of people will like fight to like, okay, you can work till like 65. That's why you can explain a lot of like the American carriers. Yeah, you have all the grannies on board. So.
Hey, but they're professional. They're consummate professionals. At what point in the flight do you switch on and become, you leave Josh back on the ground and you become Andy Josh up in the air?
Up in the air. Well, I guess it's like, you know, once you're done on the uniform, it's like, you just have to put on this whole entire persona whereby it's like, you're there to serve. I mean, no matter what is it, you got to kind of mentally prepare yourself that, you know, each time you get some dissatisfactory comment from passengers alike, and you do get a lot of situations whereby, you know, you get yelled at a lot, but somehow you just got to put that aside, put the emotions aside, and to think of yourself that it's the uniform that they're screaming at. It's not the person. So that way you put that into context, so you don't take it personally, because a lot of people who do not know how to handle the situation based on experience, they might not be able to handle that initially. They probably get a lot affected by it. It's not easy, especially, you know, as the world's evolved, human nature is more complex and the demand is a lot
Anyone ever slipped a business card into your hand as they're leaving the place?
Business card, no.
Come on,
not as many. I would hope for. I would actually hope for a lot. Trust me, if I was given a lot of business cards, I mean, trust me, I would have not been here already. Not enough. That's a word. Not enough. I have a couple, but it's just part of the nature of the job is something that is not wasn't what I'm. Was cut up for, so it probably wasn't part of my forte. So I was like, you know what, I'll just take it graciously, you know, accept it with the thanks, and you know, after that, that's it, you know, just put it aside. Yeah, you know, sometimes in the service line, you just have to be, yeah, it's all about entertaining. It's just all about just, you know, letting them know what they want to hear.
Have you ever tipped a glass of water on a passenger or poured the coffee in their lap? Had a disaster?
I would say that is...
You have, haven't you?
Initially, yes, when I first started flying. Okay. The first 2 years of my flying career, it was pretty awkward. I mean, like, you know, it happens. I mean, sometimes you don't even know how to balance the train. It's like, you know, the tons of stuff. And plus, there's a lot of elements that we have to face. I mean, like turbulent weathers, you know, and unbalanced shift of the planes and stuff like that. And sometimes you're in unexpected situations like this. Of course, like, you know, it depends. Like, you know, you always have to be apologetic about it, and you always have to, like, you know, make sure that personnel knows about this so that they can actually raise a VR or they can actually, like, you know, speak to the like the passenger to make sure that they're okay. We do as much service recovery as we can so that, you know.
Service recovery. I love the words. There's a whole language that goes with
it is.
The airline industry.
But the best service recovery in the world is actually not committing the mistake.
In the first place.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. You know, if you want to talk about service recovery, it's really more about, like, just literally just... it takes a lot of effort and you're wasting time. It's like you're actually, like, cutting yourself away from the process of doing what you need to do. And it's pretty time consuming. And it's just... You know, sometimes rather than going through that situation, you just rather not commit that mistake in the first place. But of course, if it happens, it happens. I mean, you know, sometimes you just can't, like, you know, put a blame on anybody or anyone else. But just...
But doesn't that come with maturity? You've just said it took 2 years before you stopped making the mistakes. Doesn't that sort of come with maturity?
It does, actually. I mean, you know, whether you're 2 years or 5 years or 3 years flying or whatever, or 10 years for the making... We're all learning something new every day. I'm sure, like, if you're talking to someone who's, like, of 8 years of experience and of someone who's of 10 years or 20 years, there's always something new. And there's, of course, like, you know, there's something that I've learned from the senior crew. And, of course, there's something that the senior crew learned something from me, like things that I've shared with them and stuff. And, yeah, it's all good. It's all fabulous and fun.
If you could snap your fingers and do another career, what would you do now?
I would like to go back to acting again. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I missed. And definitely my thing. You know, my performings, prior being a crew, I mean, like, I had, like, a life as an entertainer. So, you know, as far as glamorous as it is, it's very unfeasible coming from the country I'm from because the industry is really small. And obviously, like, you know, you can't really make much revenue out of it. So being in an Asian country with a very conservative mindset, it's like you probably might think that that's not really the ideal career for you.
Yeah.
But it's very different if, let's say, if you're in Hollywood or you're in West End or you're in, you know, other big countries, like, you know, even in Australia itself, like, you know, the arts is a lot more prominent over here. So, but of course, given a chance, I will definitely want to do that. And it's fun because, I mean, you know, when I'm doing all this flying career thing, I mean, I do, like, little small projects on my own. Like, you know, I've done, like, a few recordings, I've done, like, a few, like, gigs. So it's all good fun. I mean, it's like, it's not, you know, I'm not looking at that as a form of, like, oh, I just want to earn extra money, but it's really kind of like getting my engines oiled and keeping it oiled so that, you know, I don't lose touch of what I love to do. And ultimately, you know, music is really my passion. So I just came back from a compassionate leave. Prior to that, before that, I was in LA. So that was like last week. So, and then after this, I'm going to Barcelona.
So you do,
looking forward
do you do
to
Melbourne, Barcelona?
No, Barcelona is not a working trip. Barcelona is like a vacation for me. So yay. Well, that's the perks of chatty traveling. So you get to go to all these places that you've never been before.
Barcelona.
Oh, Barcelona. Oh my God. I mean, that is like way. Europe is where the most happening thing is where the hottest guys are. So, yeah, for some of you who have not been to Europe before, especially Spain, yeah, you don't know what you're missing. So, Ibiza, Barcelona, and this is going to be this huge festival going on next week. It's an annual circuit festival, which they have started since 2007. So this is actually the fourth year. And it's been going very well. It's been receiving a lot of positive feedback, and people love it. And, you know, and people from all over the world has been there. And yeah, and you can actually, like, just go onto the website and know more details about it. And in fact, you know, or even like YouTube to find out like the happenings that's going on. And of course, there'll be like top name DJs from all over the world that'll be there to spin it. So it's just like, you know, it's kind of like a Barcelona pride in a case. So it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Now, how many dance floors? How many rooms?
Dance floor, not dance floor, locations.
Locations.
Or rather, what I say, how many parties? You wouldn't believe this. Nine parties in total. Nine. And it's all in the same period of 10 days. So that's going to be massive. So some people, I mean, well, you can actually buy like individual tickets, but of course, there's always like an all week pass. So you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people who actually would be like going to all nine parties. I don't know how they're going to survive, but it's going to be ongoing. But yeah, but not for me for sure. Even though I bought the all access because I think it's pretty convenient. But yeah, besides that, I'll be probably taking this opportunity to just, you know, explore the sights and the sounds that I've never been. Because I know that Barcelona, I've heard so much about Barcelona. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It's like quite a long historical store. I mean, like, you know, a lot of nice historical landmarks, and yeah, definitely want to check out one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. And then recovery and back to work.
Recovery, yeah, good question. So, I've got to pace myself. So,
yeah,
I think I've been pretty good. So I'm quite a disciplined person. So, yeah, so I think I probably should just pace myself. Yeah, so I'm not going to do all parties. So, just going to keep some in between, rest a little bit, and of course I would definitely rest on my way back home on the plane. So that's about like 12 hours.
That voice is Andy Josh Lim from Singapore.
Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. And it's nearly the end of the program.
What an interesting mix of guests and topics today, and a fabulous way of spending Saturday afternoon.
It sure is. And we'll be back again. Well, I won't be here next week because I'm going to Sydney for a bit of a weekend getaway.
I've just come back. You and I should have, you know, we swapped
rendezvous
high
somewhere.
Fives up in the airport.
That's right. But of course, Greg will be here interviewing with Jeffrey Devine, talking about his recent trip to the US, Vegas, Gay Pride, San Francisco, Fire Island, New York. I mean, gosh, it'll be great. So, it'll be great to be back again in a couple of weeks' time. And if, of course, as always, if you've got suggestions or ideas, we'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
And during the week, you can contact us via detours@joy.org.au. We'd love to see you here next Saturday and every Saturday out of the studios here at City Village at Joy 94.9 in Melbourne.
Exactly. So stay tuned. Very shortly we'll have Cravings, and we'll look forward to being back here again next Saturday at 12 noon here on Joy.
Bye-bye.
Have a great week.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.